Let everybody say amen once again this morning. God has blessed us that we are here. We didn't have to be here this morning, but God has left us here. I thank God this morning that He has left you here as well as myself. I'll be honest with you, I prayed for me first and then you, but I still prayed for you and I hope you did the same for me. But let us remember God in our each and every day of our lives, because it's God that has brought us to where we're at today. And I know that there are some who say, I don't need God, but you do need God. We need God for everything that happens to us in this life. And when we get in trouble, that's especially when a lot of people like to call on God. And I just like to ask the church a question this morning. You know, in going through the news of the week, we know we have an oil disaster going on. We know it. We have all kind of politics going on. But tell me the difference between I misremembered and I lied. If any of you have followed the political scene here in this state, you know what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, let us be thankful to God. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer before we go any further. Oh, wonderful and mighty God, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning because you have blessed us. You have given us another opportunity that we may come out and serve thee in spirit and in truth. I thank you this morning, Father, for your Son, Jesus, whom you sent down here to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. I thank you this morning, Lord, that when I went to bed on last night, I didn't know if I was going to get up just like the rest of us didn't, oh Lord. We went to bed with faith that you would raise us up this morning, and you did, and we thank you, oh Lord. We thank you that it was your Son that, because of his trip to the cross, we were able to make this trip to the church this morning. I thank you, oh Heavenly Father, that our families might be well and that our children might be well. And I pray for the children, oh Lord, and I pray for the parents who are raising the children. And then, Father, I pray for our church, our local congregation here. I pray for our leaders in this congregation and their families that all might be well with them as well. I thank you this morning, Lord, that we have gotten up and we have had our food for the morning. And many of us have overstuffed, but some of us have stuffed just enough. But thank you, Father, for there are many who haven't stuffed at all. And we just pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in need this morning. I pray and thank you, O Heavenly Father, that one day soon the disaster in the Gulf will soon cease. I pray that we stop losing our natural resources. But then, Father, it just brings to mind a point that you are still in charge and you can do whatever you will with what you have given us. And I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all that you do for us. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in. We're praying this morning for those that I know of that are not well. We're praying for Sister Maddie Taylor, and we're praying for all of those that I know that are sick and those that are shut in, those that are in the hospital, those that are at home. We're just praying for them, O Lord. We're praying, O Heavenly Father, for any and all of those in the audience that may not feel their best. For we thank you, Father, that we are even here at all. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed this congregation to have members who are strong and leaders who are doing the best that they can, O Lord. And we just pray and ask you, Father, to bless them all. We pray and ask you, Father, to be with those men who have served in their capacities to help the service be where it's at right now. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We ask you now, Heavenly Father, that you would bless those who are in leadership positions around the world, our politicians, and we pray, O Heavenly Father, that the things that they do may be accepted, O Lord, that they may not do anything, make any laws that would hurt, harm, or otherwise mess with our ability to serve you, O Lord. We pray for those who are serving on the battlefronts all over this world, and we pray that one day there would be peace in this valley, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for anything, everything, and all things you do for us. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, who because he died, we can live, that I ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of Acts, chapter 16, starting at verse number 14. The Bible says a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. This morning I want to speak for a little while on new hearts for old hearts. Here today, for our setting, we find a conversation or a conversion story touching but nevertheless important story in the history of God's church. It's the story that's told in two verses of someone coming to the Lord. The Lord has been in the business of making new hearts out of old ones for a long time now. And He is still in that change business and willing to change ours today. God's clunker program, you might want to call it. You know, the government came up with cash for clunkers. But God will remove our old clunker hearts if you will let Him and give you a new heart or a changed heart. Back in the book of Ezekiel, do you remember that God spoke to the people of Israel and told them He would replace their old hearts and spirits with new ones? And He can still do that for us today. Let us look at God's word in our text today. For the biblical writer found it important enough to even name the person in this text. So let us find out a little bit about this. From this text, we find out that her name was Lydia. And her occupation was that she was a seller of purple. And since our name cannot be recorded in God's Bible, let us hope and pray that our names can be found in God's book of life. Let us pray that our names can be found like Paul wrote in, like it was written in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse number 3. It speaks of women and fellow laborers who labor with Paul in the gospel and whose names are in the book of life. This woman, this seller of purple in the city of Thyatira. But now that we've got a little bit of a background on her, let us see if we can completely fill in her resume. I like the part in verse, look at verse number 14, if you will. In verse number 14, it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. Now, the Lord opened her heart. She was a worshiper of God, according to the text. She served God the only way she knew how, and that was probably not in the way that we serve Him today, because she had not met the God that we know and the God that we serve today. She served Him in the way she probably had been brought up. But today, many of us know that same God, but we don't know Him well enough. And therefore, we have not come to really know Him, and neither have we come to Him. But she was willing to learn. I've got to give her that much. She was willing to learn. The preacher came by to speak to a women's group. And this lady was a part of that group. And according to verse number 14 of the text, she paid attention to the preacher. She wasn't sleeping. She wasn't texting. She wasn't checking for her missed calls. She had turned off her iPhone, her iPad, and her iPod. She was the scripture says that she was attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. She was listening, in other words. She heard God's word. And you know, sometimes I wonder how much of God's word do we all hear. And I know that some of us, I understand that some of us take medication, and you might kind of drift off a little bit. That's one thing. But if you're just sleeping because you didn't sleep last night, that's a whole different story. And some of us have got to learn that church is not the place that we come to get rest. Church is the place we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And if you're sleeping, you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. If you are checking your phone, you are not worshiping in spirit and truth. For I think that we can become too confused when we try to do too many, at least I know I can, when I try to do too many things at one time. And I know what we like to say today, that I can multitask. But serving God is not a multitasking project. is not a multitasking situation. When you walk in the doors of the church, you ought to have left everything else behind you, outside, if you will, and come in to serve God in that same spirit and the same truth. We are to hear the gospel, and how can we hear except we have a preacher, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. And I'm not tooting my own horn up here, but this is just what the Bible says. How can we hear without a preacher? If there's no preacher, we can't hear. But while hearing the Lord, the Lord's word, He opened up her heart. How can one ever expect the Lord will attend to our prayers if we are not following His word? How can we follow God's will if we don't follow His word? Does not the word tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15 that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God? Over and over again, teachers and preachers speak of God trying to reach those who are without God in their lives, trying to get them to answer truthfully the question, is thy heart right with God? But notice in verse number 14, the Bible once again says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which spoken of Paul. Far too many of us are not attending to the word of God. In the text it again says her heart was open. The work of conversion is that of the work of the heart. One will never be converted until the heart is open or changed by the works of God, and the works and the words of God. When one decides to give their heart over to God, that's when change begins to happen. God can then work in us, and our hearts must be open before God can get in. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20 where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in to him. I will sup with him and he with me. Now, in other words, if God is standing at your door knocking and you don't open it, he can't come in. Oh, he could, but he wants you to open the door. He wants you to let him in. And you know, I think about it often. I remember that some folk like to say that I know that I love the Lord. But then their actions and their ways does not show that they love the Lord. How many times have you heard people when they tell you that I know that I'm right about what I say or what I do and I know that I'm living right. But you see their lives are not speaking the same volumes about them. And then there are those who say, well, I just refuse to believe it. And I tell you this all the time. There are those who just say, I just refuse to think that I need God in my life. I think I can do it all alone. Well, I got news for you. Nothing happens in this world without the knowledge of God. Nothing at all happens in this world. I know that that pipeline is 5 miles under the ocean or a mile under the ocean, whatever it is. But God knows it's leaking gas right now. You can't hide from God. You remember the psalmist wrote, no matter where I go, you are there. But then, I like this woman, Lydia. I like Lydia because the Bible says that it says in verse 14 again that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And so in other words, after God opened her heart or after God replaced her old heart with a new heart and made the change with this heart, she attended to what Paul was saying. And so change came. Not only was this lady attending to the preacher's message, but she responded to it. She first heard the gospel, then she became a person ready to go into the watery grave of baptism. She was baptized, but in verse 15, the Bible says, look at verse 15. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought her, so her entire household was baptized. And don't ask me the question at the back door. I don't know who was in her household. I don't know how many there were. I don't know if she had kids or not. I don't know any of that because we're not given that. And the Bible simply says that when she was baptized in her household. So she had a whole household baptized. And you know, those of you who are teachers and preachers, or those of you that have stood up here from before, you know how good it feels for a preacher to have someone come forward and for the church to rejoice along with the preacher when someone comes forward and say, I want to be baptized. But here it was, can you imagine the joy on Paul's face when he got a whole household to be baptized? That makes the preacher in the church feel blessed and happy to have one soul come. But when a whole household come, Paul must have been giddy after getting a whole household to change. That change meant that this household that once was not like it. It shouldn't be like it was before. This household should now be willing to get ready on the Lord's day to meet the other saints at God's house. It meant that all of them should be of one mind. It meant that all their troubles could now be taken to the Lord in prayer. But most of all, it meant that yesterday I had no one to turn to and nowhere to go, but today they could sing out in harmony the words of that hymn, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, church, answer the question, where could I go but unto the Lord? Where could I go seeking refuge for my soul? You know, before we know the Lord, we can only say that I prayed and say that I went to the Lord and say that God gave this or did that for me. But you know something, church? God hears all prayers. Let me straighten that. Let me put that out up front. God hears every prayer that you ever pray. God hears every word that we ever utter. But if you are not living right, does God answer your prayer? Somewhere, somebody said that if God will not hear a sinner's prayer. And I know that wasn't God making that implication in John, but some folk like to think that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. God hears every prayer that utters from the mouth of us. Many folk won't submit to change. But until we decide to come to God, you will still be living with that old heart and not submitting to change and not allowing God to open your old heart to the newness of life. But then once you have made that change, watch verse 15. And verse 14, after she made the change, and then verse 15, where she was baptized. And you know, baptism confuses a lot of folk. Baptism confuses a lot of folk. And it confuses a lot of folk, and some older folk especially that I've talked to. And I'm not talking about anybody in the church here now. I'm just talking about older folk, and that could be me, you, and anybody else. But a lot of older folk, they ask the question when you talk to them about becoming baptized in the church of Christ. They say, do I have to be baptized if I was already baptized as a child? So then the question becomes, what and why were you baptized? If it was for any other reason than for the remission of sin, your reason was all wrong. Were you immersed in water? In other words, how were you baptized? How were you baptized? Were you baptized as Jesus was in Matthew chapter 3, around verse number 16, where the Bible says he came up out of the water? Or did somebody sprinkle some water over your forehead and rub it around and say you are now baptized? So the question becomes for those confused people, those people who don't understand baptism, those people who have never accepted the Church of Christ way of baptizing, that means that you have to be buried in this water. You have to go down in the water. In Romans chapter 6 and around verse number 4, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in the newness of life. You can't walk anew until you become anew, and you don't become anew until you go down into the watery grave of baptism. You can't walk a new life with an old heart. You must come to God that he might change your old or closed up heart. The Bible says that God opened this woman's heart. In verse number 14 there, the Bible said that she worshiped God, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, she worshiped God, but apparently she had never met the Church of Christ God. She had never met the God that we serve today, the one who died on yonder's cross for our behalf on account of our sin, and that he may purchase the church with his own blood. Isn't that why he died on the cross, church? But she had not met this God. She had met the God that she had been taught, and no doubt she was taught on the Jewish law or on the Jewish rule. So no doubt she was serving the wrong God, but she thought she was serving the right God. But then when you think about it, church, many of us today are just as confused as some of the folk that we try to change or that we try to convert. Do you remember in Luke chapter 8? Go over to Luke chapter 18 with me for a minute, if you will. Do you remember in Luke chapter 18 right here starting? Oh, let's just start around verse number 10 where the Bible says, two men went up from the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice, church, he prayed with himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But then look at the publican in verse number 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote up on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. He knew that he was a sinner. I tell you, Jesus is speaking here. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Church, you want to be lifted up? Let God open up your heart. That's all I'm trying to say. There are two men in this particular text. One is humble and the other one is proud. One refusing to allow God to open his heart. The other one shows a humble heart. And that's what it's all about, church. It's not about me, but it's about the God who I need in me. Today we should never be so proud as to admit that we are imperfect. And I know what we like to say, oh, I'm all right. I'm doing well. Everything is all right in my life. But we are sinners, and that's a fact. None of us are perfect. We are all imperfect. In Psalms chapter 14, the Bible says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. But let me tell you what he found in verse number 3. He said, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. So that tells me none of us are perfect. And if you think you are perfect, I hate to bust your bubble. I hate to let you know, but none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. So this woman, Lydia, she made a change. God opened up her heart and change came to her, and she became a baptized Christian. And you know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So she made her confession and she went to the watery grave of baptism. The only way one can receive this new heart from God is by coming to him, hearing his word according to Romans 10 and verse number 17, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, this is what's the important part. This is where the important part comes in. You've got to hear God's word. You know, you can't just, I know like a lot of folk like to take correspondence courses these days. A lot of folk like to take correspondence courses through the mail. But you know something? I'm just going to give you a warning. And this is free of charge. Don't trust everything you get in the mail. Somebody is always looking to scam you. So don't fall for everything that comes in. And please don't fall for everything over your computer. You know, they've got some sites out there now make you think, this is my creditor call. This is my creditor sending me an email. I better answer this. And before you know it, you have given your entire life away. But you've got to hear God's word before you can move any further. You've got to allow God's word to come to you, and you've got to allow God's word to make a change in your heart. Paul spoke it, Lydia heard it, her heart believed it, and then she made a change. We must repent of our past sins according to Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess Christ before men according to Matthew 10 and verse number 32. If we confess him before men. He will confess us before His Father. And then finally, church, we must be buried with Him in baptism, according to Colossians 2 and verse number 12. Yes, church, there's always, God has always been in the business of getting rid of old hearts and replacing them with new ones. If you just let Him into your heart, He can fix your old heart too. Do you remember? Do you remember what He told those people in Israel, like I told you before? He said that He would take out their old stony hearts and replace them with a new heart and a new spirit. This was referring to an inward change. He wasn't going to take their hearts out of their chest because that beats in them. And why would He take that out when He wanted them to change? So He wasn't talking about the heart that beats, that sends the blood through your body. He was talking about the heart up here. And some folk have a problem understanding that. I don't serve God in here. I serve God up here with this mind and this heart. God is still in that same business today, church. He can change our stony hearts just as He did for Israel. He can change our old, broken and stony, cold hearts just like He did in our text for today. Look at the text again. In verse number 14, she said, Lydia was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. Heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. In other words, Paul was the speaker, and she heard what he was talking about. And when she was baptized in her household, I like that part. I just can't get over that part. The whole house got baptized. Even if it was only one other person, I don't know how many, but even if it was only one, the whole house got baptized. Now, when you think about it, church, especially those of us that are parents, when you try to get your children, well, let me just use a better example. Women, when you try to get your husband to come to church and be baptized, and for a long time he wouldn't come, would he? Well, you don't have to answer. For a long time he wouldn't come. And you tried for years to get him to come. But he was always too busy to go to church because he worked every day of the week. And when Sunday came around, only thing that he wanted to do was sit back, relax, and watch the football game or watch the baseball game or watch some sports on TV. And you pleaded with him for years to go to church with you. But finally, one day he got up and he said, I'm going to church with you. Oh, I speak from personal experience, church. I've been there. I wouldn't tell you something if I didn't know a little bit of something about it. And one day my son asked me, and I've told you the story before. He said, why do I have to go to church and he doesn't go? And I tell you, that changed my whole outlook on life. Because I started going to church after that because I couldn't answer him. What could I tell him? Why do you always drop us off and you don't go in? Well, I had to change. And so I asked the Lord to show me what I needed to do to become a better Christian. Not another Christian, because I was already a Christian, but I just wasn't a participating Christian. I wasn't an active Christian. You know, the church have their roles, and they have their role on their role. They got some active Christians, and they got some inactive Christians. You know what I'm talking about? Those who got their name there, but that's all. They're there in name only. They're not there on Sunday when the church meets. So I had to make a change. This lady, Lydia, she made a change to become a member of the Lord's church, and so can we do today. But let me tell you something. Change will not come until we allow God into our hearts. Change will not come until we admit that we are imperfect in our present state. Change will not come until we hear and believe the truth. Change will not come until we confess Christ. Christ confessed that Christ died that we might live, and change will not come until we go down in the watery grave of baptism so that we can allow the blood and the water to cleanse us and change our sinful ways into a new way. And you know something, church? When you change into a new way, your whole life should change. Somebody said, well, preacher, I understand all of that. I understand what you're trying to tell us, but with this change That means I have to give up too many things. I have to give up the way I live my life right now. I have to give up some things that I really enjoy doing. I have to give up some things that I wasn't ready to give up. I have to give up some things that doesn't make sense to me to give up right now. But I would simply tell them the story that I like to use quite frequently. It's a preacher's old favorite, the rich man and Lazarus. Do you remember he had everything on this earth? I mean, he had it. He had the finest clothes. He dined sumptuously and he had the best of everything. I guess if he had to import his food, I guess maybe he had imported food. I don't really know. But all I'm saying that he lived richly on this earth. And he wouldn't even give the crumbs off his table to poor Lazarus. But then something happened. Oh yes, something happened. He died. But so did Lazarus die. But Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man didn't. He went to torment. Oh, and then he began to remember some things then. He remembered that he needed to tell his brothers to let them know that you don't want to come to this place. He remembered how that he didn't help Lazarus. And you know, torment. Torment is a bad place to remember that I didn't do what I should have done. Torment is a bad place to have a ready recollection of how you lived instead of how you should have lived. But this man remembered. He remembered Lazarus then. He didn't remember him while he lived, but he remembered him then. For he said, just let Lazarus dip his finger in some water. And put that drop of water on the tip of my tongue. Because I'm hot and thirsty down here. But you know, a week or so ago, we hit a spell of hot weather. And you know how uncomfortable it was a couple of weeks ago. And I just listened to folk, because I was one of those folk. I wanted to hurry up and get this warm weather here. But when it got here, I wasn't so happy. And I know what some say, well, if it gets too hot, I'll just stay inside under the air conditioner. But when Calm Edison sends you a bill, then you're going to cry some more. But then, that's how it was with that rich man. He had the best of everything, but he forgot to include God in his best of everything. But that's why I like the contrast with Lydia. She was a worshiper of God. But God opened up her heart and she changed. And you know the best time to change is while you still can. Isn't that right, church? That's why when folk ask me about finding a job, I say, I'm telling them the best time to find a job is while you already got one. You know, it's hard to find a job when you don't have one. Every door in the world will close. We see in this economy that we're in today, people that used to be business executives are now saying, I'll take a job behind the counter of McDonald's because they can't find anything. So the best time to serve God is while you still can, because there'll come a time when you can't serve God. You know, once appointed to man to die, but then after death, so we are going to die. There's no doubt about it that we are going to die. It's just a matter of when am I going to die. It's not a matter of what if I die. That's why a lot of people like the phrase, what if something should happen to me? Well, something is going to happen to you. So you need to get it right now. You need to be just like that lady Lydia. You need to allow God to open up your heart and change you. God is still in that same business of giving new hearts for old ones. His program still works. And there's no one better at doing it than God Himself. There's no one who has the formula but God Himself. If I went to the doctor and asked for a new heart, he'd cut my chest open. And give me that. He can't give me anything else. But God can give you the heart of your mind. He can give you that thing that you think with, that thing that you serve and worship Him with. And this is what He did for Lydia. And then Lydia said, well, this is all right. I'm going to get my whole house to do this same thing, to be baptized. And somebody said, well, preacher, You always tell us the steps that we need to do to hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. But did Paul do that? Well, we follow the apostles' doctrine, don't we? It doesn't say that he did that in the text, but you can assume that he did that because this was God's man and he knew what he was doing, don't you think? But then there are those who say, well, I'm just going to wait for a little while. You know, waiting is a dangerous game. And there are those folk who say, well, I get so anxious, I can't hardly wait. So they go out and they do things on an impulse. They buy things on an impulse. They do things and like our kids sometimes. They react to things so very differently. See, you know, when I was growing up, I was afraid of my parents, not afraid in the sense that I thought they were a monster or anything, but I was afraid of what would happen to me if I didn't do things right. But kids today are not afraid of their parents. You know why? Because kids and their parents hang out together. Go get me a beer and get yourself one while you're in there. Go get me a pack of cigarettes and buy yourself one while you're there, because I don't want you begging for mine. But see, my father and my mother never did offer me a cigarette. They never did offer me a beer. My father came to me when I was about 25 years old and told me, you never had a drink with me. Why don't you have one with me? I said, I don't want to drink. All I'm trying to say is that we have to be our own person. I can't live on my family, my parents' record, and my parents, if they were alive, couldn't live on my record. I have to allow God to change my heart. And then once I change my heart, then I can allow him to come in. And he will sup with me and I can sup with him. Isn't that what the text says? If you're here this morning, you have that opportunity. I've already told you what you need to do, but I'll run through it again. Hear the gospel, believe, repent, confess, then be baptized. And if you've already been there and you don't think you need to go again, that's fine. If you think you need to go again, that's all right too. But there's no scripture that you have to go again. But if you do, then Brother Jackson will baptize you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.